2,000 years ago, there was the disciples, the early followers of Jesus that began to listen to what he had to say, follow what he began to teach, observed his miracles, saw all the amazing things that they saw and witnessed for themselves, participated in. As they were nearing the end of Jesus' life, we find this story in Luke chapter 22. But as they neared the end of his human life, not totally knowing everything that was about to happen, they were coming up on a weekend that was very special in the life of Jewish tradition, still is. It's called Passover. The reminder of that time when they were slaves, a long, long centuries before this time, they had been slaves in Egypt, and through the plagues and the different events that took place, God released them from slavery. And the ultimate of that was the sacrifice of the lamb that was in the lamb's blood put on the doorpost. Thus the name Passover. They were, death passed them over, and they were freed to go and leave. Very beautiful picture of what God has done for us. So now we find ourselves in the time of Jesus sitting with his disciples. And in Luke 22, it says they went into this room and they prepared this Passover meal. Very intimate setting of memorial service. Memorial time to remember what God had done. And he sat with his disciples and they were eager, it says, to take the meal together. Full of ritual, the picture of what life would be. But Jesus says, I'm not going to take this meal again until the kingdom of God is fulfilled. Not knowing everything that was there, he passed these elements around, the bread, the wine, and he talked about the sacrifice that was made. The sacrifice that God made was not just a lamb, an animal. It was the Lamb of God. The ultimate fulfillment of the price to be paid for life that is given. Life that we do not deserve, you do not deserve, I do not deserve, comes by the perfect Lamb of God giving all things for us. Jesus Christ on the cross to substitute for me. In your own heart, talk to God for a moment before we even take this meal together. Asking forgiveness from God for the shortcomings of my own life, your life, for each one of us. And then thanking God for Jesus. Let's just take a moment of quiet, reflective prayer. Personal. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. Gave all things. And then when I trust my life to you, God, through the name of Jesus Christ, there is a passing over of death and a new life that can be found. And I want to thank you for that. Forever and ever, we give thanks. I give thanks for forgiveness of my sins, for the opportunity of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior, I lift up this prayer. The Bible says that Jesus on that night took the bread and he passed it around and he gave thanks to God and he broke it into pieces. And he said, this is my body which is given for you. Whenever you do this remembering me. Let's share. And it says after the supper, he took another cup of wine. He passed it around the room and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. That's us. An agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Let's take this in remembrance of him. Forgiveness comes, and life only comes through a person who is willing to then say, take my life, God, it is yours. Christ paid it all for me. But it's interesting to me at the end of that story of meeting in that room with his disciples in that intimate setting. It says, then accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left that upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. And there he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. His first act after taking the Lord's Supper, that communion meal, that Passover meal with his disciples in that powerful way, was to pray. Pray for my willingness and readiness to walk with God for the rest of my life, and pray for the world. And that's actually what we're about to do as disciples this morning in this incredible morning of prayer. Let's give thanks to God.
Well, I'm Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. So glad you're here. Just fair warning, this morning is a little bit of a unique morning. And we say that occasionally here, and I know some people expect it once in a while that we're going to do things different. So I want to encourage you, first of all, if you are a guest here, if you're visiting, really glad you're here. We're not trying to freak you out, but we are a church that wants to take prayer seriously. We're growing in that, and we recognize if we don't pray, we just say we pray, we're not actually growing in that. And so I'm going to speak for just a little bit of time this morning, and then we're going to enter into a time of we're going to pray in a few different ways. Nothing too crazy, I hope. We'll explain it all. If you are a guest, feel free to participate as much as you want to. If you're part of Lifeway, I encourage you to step outside your comfort zone a little bit, to be stretched a little bit today. Now, that said, you know, as you grow, as you go through college or different jobs or just even as you build teams, you ever so often do like personality tests, right? You take a personality and it relates you to like a dog or a beaver or a lion or something like that. I take those sometimes and I've taken them before. And every time I take one of those things, when it describes me, it always describes me as someone who is always thinking about the future. You can ask my wife about this. We sit together and she'll like, hey, remember that one time we went to this one place on our anniversary? And I'm like, oh no, she's asking one of those questions. And I'm like, I got to remember. And like, I've got to dig deeply to remember those experiences of the past, because the way I'm wired, I'm just leaning toward the future. I'm leaning toward what's next and what God's doing next. And it's just kind of who I am. And I have to intentionally slow down, stop, and remember what God has been doing. Remember the things that I'm even experiencing in certain moments so they'll solidify in my mind. That's kind of what we're going to do this morning. For the next few minutes, what I want to do is I want to walk us through as a church where we've been over the last 6 weeks. In fact, if you grab your program, pull out, I think it's towards the back of your program, there's a sheet. At the top of it, it says laying the groundwork. And it has a lot of words on it. And what you find here is basically the big idea from every message over the last 6 weeks. We've had this series called Laying the Groundwork, where we've been talking about prayer, and we've been looking at different parts of Scripture that speak to prayer, give us a better understanding of what it looks like to pray according to the Scripture, to pray in a way that is in line with how Jesus taught us to pray, how the Scripture describes it. And so you have a big idea, and then you have a passage of Scripture. For these next few minutes, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to read through this. I'm going to ask you to participate fully, though. I'm going to read a big idea of a week, and then I'm going to have you read it with me out loud. And then I'm going to ask you, when I read the passage of Scripture, I'm going to ask you to give yourself fully, mentally, give yourself fully to the text. This is kind of different, and this isn't going to have the normal kind of sermon feel. This is going to be a lot of reading of Scripture. And I know sometimes when our minds get distracted, we start to wander, start to talk to our neighbor, this or that. I really want to encourage you, allow God's word to just sit right in the front of your mind over these next few minutes. And remember where we've been. Remember where we've been. And then after we have remembered together where we've been, I'm going to invite everyone to stand. And you notice on the wall right here, you notice on the wall in the back and then the wall right over here, we have what we call our four quadrants. Lifeway Church, we organize our mission, our outward focus in four different areas: locally, cross-culturally, and then nationally, and finally internationally. Each of these represents one of those quadrants. And we're going to take about 10 minutes or so to get up and move from one spot to the next and take time praying. Praying for the work that we are connected to as Lifeway Church. Now, some of you, you could describe what is on these walls without even thinking. If that's you, I would encourage you to just kind of stand at the back when you visit it. You know what we're doing. You know how to pray. Some of you might be learning what we're doing. Feel free to get up as close as you need to. Read about the work that we're doing so you can pray well. Now that said, let's remember. Let's remember where we've been. If you take your sheet, week one, when we kicked it off, we talked about the spiritual battle that we are in. And we looked at that passage known as the armor of God that helps us get ready for spiritual warfare. And at the very end of that passage, there's this text about how prayer, in my mind, is the linchpin of it all. And so what we said is the big idea. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to ask you to read it with me, is this. We said, you stand battle ready only when you fall to your knees in prayer. Will you read that with me? You stand battle ready only when you fall to your knees in prayer. Now let's read this passage. Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This passage, Paul says, pray. Pray always. Pray in the Spirit. Prayer is this ongoing dialogue between you and the Father where everything you do is an act of dependence and submission. Well, that was our first week. And then the next week, we moved to Jesus' words in John 14. And we said, if we're going to have one big idea that week, we said, praying in Jesus' name moves us toward Jesus' mission. Read that with me. Praying in Jesus' name moves us toward Jesus' mission. Jesus says, John 14, verses 12 through 17, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If you remember that week, we talked about how we as a church get to be part of greater works than what Jesus did, because we have the Spirit dwelling in us. And those greater works are an expanding geographically of the gospel. See, the gospel was present in Jesus' physical presence. But after he went to the Father, he sends the Spirit to dwell in us so that his work would just reach across the globe. Then we got to week three. Week three, we talked about how prayer strengthens workers and sends more workers. Read that with me. Prayer strengthens workers and sends more workers. We had these two passages Billy shared with us. One of them comes from this Romans 15:30, where we pray for Paul as a worker, and we recognize we pray for the workers in this same way. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. Paul is saying, work, strive, wrestle with me for me in prayer to God. When we pray for workers, they get stronger, they're supported. In a little bit, we're going to pray for workers that we're connected with around the world. They will be strengthened through this. And then Luke 10, verse 2, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." You know, Jesus says that there is a harvest of people that are ready to hear the gospel, ready to trust the gospel, ready to receive the grace and forgiveness we have. The problem isn't that they're not ready. The problem is that there's not enough workers. Keep that in mind as you pray around the room. Pray for more workers. And then week four, we said when we pray in humility, God pours out his goodness. Read it with me. When we pray in humility, God pours out his goodness. We talked about a lot of scripture that day, but it's summarized in these passages right here. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." You see the same kind of idea reflected in 2 Chronicles 7, where the Lord says this to Solomon. He says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." God says, I want to forgive your sins. There's a spiritual blessing waiting. He says, I want to heal their lands. There is a physical blessing waiting. But he says, here's how it happens. If my people humble themselves in dependence and submission, and they pray, they go to the Father, they seek his face, they turn from their wicked ways. That's why we started with communion. Communion in its very act is an act of repentance as we turn from selfishness and turn toward the cross. And then week five, we said right prayer opens gospel doors. Read it with me. Right prayer opens gospel doors. Colossians, really, not just 5 and 6, but it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, the gospel, on account of for which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Then he talks to us. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person with the gospel. You might know how to explain Jesus to each person. And then we had last week, we had our Global Impact Celebration. Wednesday night, a pastor from Oregon, Keith Evans, he stood up here and he said these three words. Remember them? He says, leave, go, bless. Say it with me. Leave, go, bless. And he told us Abraham's story. Abraham's story of being called away from the safety he knew, being called out to the unknown, and being called to be a blessing. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go or leave your country and your kindred and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We were reminded from the very start, God's intent is to bless every nation. Now, turn to the last page. In Genesis, we get this beginning picture. And then our speaker, last Sunday morning, he gave us a vision of the end. And he said these words, but that day is not this day. I don't want you to say that one. I just want you to think about it. But that day is not this day. Listen to the passage from Revelation that he read. This picture of the very end, when every nation has been blessed with the gospel. and they're worshiping the Lord. It says, "Now after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they were crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" This is the picture of the end, but what we were reminded of is, but that day is not this day. There's a gap. There are those who have yet to hear. And so in just a moment, we are going to act. And we're going to act with prayer. We're going to continue to build on the foundation, the groundwork. And I know this might be out of your comfort zone a little bit, but let me say this, and then I'll dismiss you. Imagine the Lord right now, seated on his throne, looking down at Lifeway Church. And imagine the picture he's about to see as his people, called by his name, humble themselves, and around this room, we pray. We pray for the nations to know the gospel. You know, the scripture in some places describes it as incense rising up the throne room. That's what's about to happen. So now, let's pray. I'll encourage you, take this time seriously. If you make it to one station, awesome. If you make it to all four, that's fine. Don't feel any pressure to get through all of them, but take some time to pray. Do your best not to distract others. Refrain from maybe having a conversation with someone. When you're done, just come and grab a seat. And when its time is right, we'll continue in worship. Church, let's pray. You know, every so often you get to participate in a lot of a service, and much of the service, and that's kind of what's happening today. I hope this has been meaningful to you. But we want to do one more piece this morning that really is you and the Lord and you participating. So go ahead and reach in your program again. You find a blank envelope, and everyone needs one of those. And this next part is going to be kind of, you'll be sitting there doing nothing if you don't have one. So just raise your hand. There's a few guys coming through. They'd be happy just to hand you one. And when you open it, go ahead and pull out. You'll find a sheet that looks like this, except without writing. And it says, "Dear Heavenly Father." And what we're going to do for these next few minutes is we are going to write out a prayer. Feel free, just keep your hand up if you need one. They'll get to you. What I'm going to ask you to do is think through what the Lord's been doing in your life this last month. Think through some of the vision that maybe he's given you as you engage in missions. Some of you, as I've spoken to you, the Lord's put like a dream in your heart, and it's starting to burn, and you're excited about it, and it's kind of new. And so what we're going to do is take some time to write out a prayer, first of all, thanking him. Thank him for what he's been doing in your life this last month, for what he's allowed you to experience, but also in your prayer that you write, capture some of those dreams, some of those prayers, some of those visions, some of those things that you think he's asking you to do. And we're going to take some time just to write it all down in a prayer form. And then when you're done, put it in your envelope, seal it, and then at the end of service when the offering's passed, I'm going to ask you to drop it in there. Not so that I can read it. I don't have any interest in reading it. But with your address on the front, what we're going to do is we're going to mail it to you in September. Now, that's a long time from now, right? But we're going to mail it to you in September as we, as a church, 2018, begin to get ready for our Global Impact Celebration next year. And what's going to happen is you're going to open this in about a year, and you're going to remember what the Lord had been doing in your life. Maybe you'll be able to look back at all the ways you've grown. Maybe it will encourage you and kind of fan that fire to continue to grow. But this is between you and the Lord, not between me or anyone else. No one else is going to see it. So take these next few minutes. Take some time to thoughtfully and prayerfully write out what the Lord has put on your heart. Put your name, your address on the front, and we'll mail it to you in about 10 months. Go ahead and let's write. It's been said that the devil, that he mocks our plans, that he laughs at our strategy, but he trembles when we pray. I want to believe that he was trembling today as a church, as we were praying to this awesome God. So with that, let's leave here. Let's go as disciples who make disciples. Let's leave as those who've chosen to follow Christ, as those who are being changed by Christ, and as those who are committed to the mission of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.